Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going to do the screaming Christian Arcand open, but I decided against it. Didn't want to blow any car speakers or eardrums. So welcome to WEEI Afternoons. Andy
Hart. It's a fine choice.
Nick Fitzy Stevens, his voice right there. We are broadcasting live from the WEEI Brighton Studios, powered by Verizon. And you heard that little mashup. There's a lot of good things about Jaylen Brown in there, including at the back end, some leadership, some words of wisdom for a team that it's starting to find its way into the win column more often, Fitzy, starting to find its way up the standings in the Eastern Conference, now up to that 6th seed, which is kind of that mark I feel like a lot of us targeted as just be a real seed, don't be a play-in, be a real seed, a top 6 team, and this will be a very successful regular season, regardless of what happens with Jason Tatum. We may get into a little bit of that later. I'm starting to hear rumblings about Taylor Swift-like, what do they call those, eggs, in Easter eggs in certain social medias that could point to a return date for Jason Tatum. But more importantly, right now, Jaylen Brown is more than doing the job for the Boston Celtics. You look at a guy that has spent the first couple weeks of the season talking about, you know, it's a new season, we're finding ourselves, we're figuring things out. Well, certainly seems like he's figured things out. 30-plus points in 4 of the last 5 games. Oh, by the way, the one game he didn't have 30, it was 19, 12, and 11. It's called a triple-double. 40-plus points in 2 of the last 3 games, scoring 24.7% of the Celtics' points this season, a winning basketball team. That's third most for any team in the NBA, behind only Maxey and SGA, yes, the reigning MVP for the defending world champions. So, Fitzy, I'm going to ask you very simply.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown.
I like a simple question.
Is he achieving, overachieving, underachieving, and is he an MVP candidate?
The answer to the first question is he is overachieving.
Oh!
In the best possible way. Now, he may be of the belief that he is achieving and has always believed his ability to be able to be a true number one, to be the go-to guy, to like tell the team, lean on me, I got you. So he's playing his best basketball right now when the Celtics absolutely desperately need him to. They're trying to figure out their rotation. Seems like they're finally figuring that out. I think we're going to probably see more of what we've seen recently over the coming days, games, weeks, and months until, of course, Tatum comes back, good health, holding out. Jaylen Brown's carrying this team right now. He is playing far above and beyond any and all expectations I had for him. I thought him capable of being a good to very good player. I didn't think he was capable of being exceptional or like super, super, superstar level. But the dude's averaging almost 29 points a night, over 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal a night, playing 34 minutes. Like, that's, you know, you said he's going to be all NBA. And I said, I don't think so. I may have even foolishly bet a large beer on it.
You did.
Well, I'll be happily paying off that bet, I believe, in a couple months, buying you said large beverage, because the dude is playing at an all NBA level, especially considering he's not exactly doing it with an all-star team surrounding him.
No, in fact, he's doing it with a team that was torn down in the offseason. You know, obviously you have Jason Tatum,
rehabbing, sitting on the bench, awaiting his return. But Porzingis gone, Drew Holiday gone, Al Horford gone. Like, you've decimated this roster to some degree. And even post-decimation, he's playing with a different starting lineup, you know, week to week, night to night sometimes. The rotations are changing. And, you know, the constants around him are, for the most part, Derek White and Peyton Pritchard. Although, I think you could argue both of those guys have underachieved, if we're going to use those barometers to start the season. Certainly in their shooting, their three-point shooting, I think those guys are certainly struggling more in their elevations in the rotation than Jaylen Brown is. Jaylen Brown has gone from 2 to 1 with no problem. Those guys have gone to wherever you wanted to have them, 6 and 5, 3 and 6, whatever. Their bump up the depth chart seemingly has hurt their contributions, right? Their shooting percentages are not as good. I don't know if that's defense. You know, I know here Terp talk a lot about the threes. They used to get catch and shoot threes. Now they're pull up threes and the differentiation there. I don't know what it is, but those guys who are supposed to be the other mainstays have not been up to the challenge through a quarter of the season. The one guy who has stood, you know what? Namish Keita has stood tall. I want to get that out of the way before Ted gets here and rips me and says, the real MVP, you didn't even mention him. It's the big guy.
He's been fantastic.
He's been fantastic. Very good. He has played very well. He has certainly overachieved. But I agree with you. And I hope that people look at this as Jaylen Brown achieving what he's capable of. The only thing that's changed is the ask. It's not the talent. It's not anything other than what he is asked to do on a nightly basis. And the other night, that second quarter was remarkable when he broke out for, I think the number was 18. He's dunking. He's coming off screens, hitting threes.
He scores in bunches and has some massive wasn't there, I forget, it was against maybe the Cavaliers where he scored like 20 points in a quarter, I want to say, in the first. I think it was in that game where they had a bigger lead and held on and won earlier this year. Like, he did all. Oh, they opened. He scored the first 12 points, I think was. Like, he scores in bunches sometimes. He is a little streaky.
That's fine. Because you know what? I'm glad you brought that point up. You know what I love about that? When he goes back to being the number two, when he goes back to being second fiddle, if he has learned to maybe harness the streakiness just a little bit, and you can say, okay, Tatum's on the bench. This is your show right now, JB, for the next 6 minutes. Do your JB things and go off and give me 12 points in these next 6 minutes. Give me the assists. Give me the all-around play that you're capable of. If he can harness that and focus it when Jason Tatum is back, they're a better basketball team. Like, that is going to be a massive boon for this team. But for the here and for the now, he is shutting a lot of people up. But I did want to point out something that I found interesting. So the other night when he's in the midst of that second quarter stretch, and I think he had a dunk, and there was a timeout called after the dunk, and he's going around the garden floor telling the crowd to, you know, bring more energy, get up. Was that a continued disconnect with the home fans that he has? That, because we know he has a interesting relationship.
Curious relationship with both the fans, the fan base, the city,
So it was almost like he expected more adulation there. The timeout, the momentum, the points he's putting up, the dunks, and wasn't getting it and was calling for more. Are you not entertained? Like, he's calling on the crowd. Is that another, does he see another slight there? Is that another visual representation of, oh, if that is Tatum and we're calling a timeout, I bet you people are on your feet, but I got to tell you to cheer louder. I need to coerce you to cheer louder. Am I reading way too much into this?
Absolutely.
No, it's never reading too much into it when Jaylen Brown is involved.
No, that's
we learned
problem.
That the other day when he was like, yeah, 6 years ago, they mentioned me in a trade, and I ain't never forgotten that. Brad said my name in trades, and I ain't never, that you can never read too much into JB.
You absolutely now, I think the less we read into him, I think the more we just treat him like a superstar and appreciate him for what he is, then the less we have to worry about stuff like, no, this is him actually feeling it. This is him taking the reins. This is him saying, I got this right now. Let's go, people. Like, I thought actually the opposite of that. To me, that was more, instead of a disconnect, that was a connect with the fans. Like, he wouldn't normally necessarily feel like, oh, I can get you guys, let me get you guys pumped up, let's go. Like, he would, maybe he would defer to Tatum, maybe he just wouldn't do it at all, but he understands the spotlight is on him. He is center stage. He is this team until further notice, likely for a while, even after Tatum comes back because of his physical limitations and the load management they'll put on him recovering from the Achilles. So I don't see that as a negative. As a matter of fact, I saw that as a massive positive for him.
Okay, so let's take the positive then. We know the numbers. We know the numbers are awesome. Noah Dalzell puts out there the last five games, you're in the wins over the Pistons, the Magic, the Cavs, the Knicks, mm-hmm. to get you where you are. She just writes, that's MVP-level hoops. I agree. He's doing mm-hmm. MVP-level things right now, and the further they move up the standings, mm-hmm. the better his chances to get actual MVP consideration, right? Like, if you're the 7, 8, 9, 10 seed, you're not getting MVP consideration. I don't care what people think is around you, whatnot. You're just not. But if you're no Jason Tatum and you get the Celtics up to 5 and to 4 and all of a sudden you're in the top half of the seeds in the East, I absolutely think Jaylen Brown will get MVP consideration. The other aspect I wanted to get to, Fitzy, though, was the back end of the montage we led with. His words. His words about the win. That's just one win. It's a great win, great to do, but that's just one win. Are we seeing an evolution of his leadership? Because I think that's another thing that people have questioned at times over the years, some of the things he says. What kind of leader is he? Is he a sourpuss? Is he a pseudo-intellect? There's a lot of barbs about sort of his leadership and his words. Have we seen an evolution there?
Sourpuss at times, yes. a little mercurial, a little odd and unique, certainly. He's an intellect, no doubt. I mean, dudes, come on, we don't even need to get into that. Although I think something that rubs people the wrong way sometimes is his want to remind everybody that he's well healed,
yeah.
that he's cultured, and that he's smart. Okay, good for you. The less people get of that, I think right now, this isn't shut up and dribble, but I think the more people just get of, hey, there's Jaylen Brown leading the team, putting the team on his mighty shoulders, scoring in bunches once again, getting the Garden crowd fired up, leading a team whose roster was gutted and savaged of its height and a lot of its talent and its primary superstar this offseason, leading them to a winning record out of the play-in zone and into the competition zone, the fans will follow. Like, he doesn't need to tell people there's reasons to appreciate him or to wonder aloud if he's underappreciated. Just keep doing what you're doing, and the fans and the love will follow.
So, fans, how are you feeling about what Jaylen Brown is doing for the sixth seed Celtics right now? Little side note, he is out for tonight's game. That's unfortunate,
what?
But that's load management for you. That's making sure your best player.
But he's sick.
Yeah, he's sick.
It says that he has an illness.
He's sick of playing so much basketball in a short period of time, and there's more important games down the road other than the Wizards, who aren't playing anybody either.
He's sick of playing against a team that has 14 more losses than wins.
Well, see, I wanted him to play because I thought this was an opportunity to pad his stats and add to the MVP resume.
Hell yeah.
Go out and put up 50, but it's probably the smart play to not play him, to do the load management thing. Mm. So how are you feeling about Jaylen Brown? Is he an MVP candidate? Is he going to be all NBA? 617-779-7937. That was actually the question of the day, Fitzgerald.
Mm.
At Jumbo Heart, at WEEI Afternoons.
The old poll.
Yep. The four options for, is Celtic star Jaylen Brown going to be an all NBA player this season? First team, second team, third team, or no? What do you believe is leading the voting right now, Fitzgerald?
I'm going to say no, just because people are still skeptical.
That was the dumbest guess you've had in the year we've been doing this.
No.
Yeah. No, legitimately the worst guess you've ever had. 8% are currently voting no. The first place guess, and we have a tight race between first and second, 44% say he's first team all NBA.
Good.
43% say second team. So 87% of respondents right now believe he is a first or second team all NBA player.
Nice.
Then, as I said, 8% say no, and 5% say third team. So over 92% of Celtics fans, or at least my followers, so they may be mm-hmm. Patriots fans as well, believe that Jaylen Brown is going to be an all-NBA player this season. 617-779-7937. Do you agree? Is he achieving? Is he overachieving? Is he bringing you to the bandwagon, as it feels like he has done with one Nick Stevens? Is that fair to say? You are now on the JB bandwagon?
Listen, I'm not going to wear his shirt on the boat by the poolside or at
you don't
the
have
beach.
The guns to do it.
It's not even about a gun showcase, guy. Come on, that's just like that's just gross. Like it's so South Coast, it's embarrassing. There's so many people in your hometown now just face palming. No, I would not wear the jersey right now, but at the same time, I'm a card carrying member of the fan club. Like he has put a jolt into this season. He is reinvigorating the fan base, and I'm a card carrying member of the fan club. What can I say? I celebrate the entire catalog.
All right, me too. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about JB? Where's the hater? Where's the all caps guy on the text line that hates JB and says he's a bum and they're going to have to trade him and he's going to prove that he's not a true number one?
He's not
one.
Here yet?
Yeah, no, it's
he
weird.
He wishes you good afternoon every afternoon.
He does, but it's weird. He seems to be going silent and quiet because JB is legit an MVP candidate and is legit one of the best players in the league right now. Funny how that works. When the truth is on my side, you run, caps guy. 617-779-7937. Coming up next, we're talking about JB. He's proven himself. Are the Celtics proving themselves as they continue to win big games? Not necessarily tonight. Are they proving that they've learned their roles? Are the players stepping up? Or has Joe Mazzulla learned his basketball team? Are they playing a different style of basketball? Is he finding the rotations? A little Celtics team talk up next here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
UEEI. Joe Mazzulla, who I think now that we've established, or as much as you can establish through a quarter of a season, that JB is up to the task of being a number one for the Boston Celtics, the next guy in the crosshairs, Fitzy, I think, is Joe Mazzulla. How is he going to react to a team where, Casey Jones and Joe Mazzulla just roll the ball out there and let them play basketball and go win a title? That's not the case anymore.
Nope.
Now it's starting lineups, it's rotations, it's Jordan Walsh and Minot and all these guys and figuring out where they fit, figuring out how to get the best out of Peyton Pritchard and Derek White and all of that, figuring out how to play with limited bigs, basically Kata and Pray for Rain in terms of the center position.
We could use a little boost right there. What, you're not a big believer in the Garza strip?
No, not really. I had higher hopes for him. I don't have those hopes as much anymore.
No, you shouldn't.
I do think there are some guys that we had too high of hopes for that are starting to kind of pass by the wayside a little bit. So like? Joe Mazzulla. Well, I mean, Garza's a guy, certainly one of them, but others. But Joe Mazzulla, is he figuring it out or are the players figuring it out? Who do you think is more figuring it out at this point, a quarter of the way through the season?
I think the players are. Every coach will tell you, from football to basketball, crossing sports and whatnot, like, players are the ones who win the games. Players execute the play design. Players win championships, not the coaches, really. And in this case, I mean, You give Mazzulla some credit for finessing the rotation, changing the lineup, and giving other guys opportunity. Because let's say Minot deserves more minutes. Only Mazzulla can decide when he goes in and when he doesn't. You know, Hugo Gonzalez getting in the game, Jordan Walsh getting some late game opportunities to fight for some tough rebounds and play some tenacious D. He doesn't get that opportunity unless he plays well, and then Missoula believes in him. So,
yep.
Sure, give Missoula some credit, but if I have to sort of divvy it up poll style, I'm going to give more to the players who are just straight up playing better. Pritchard scoring more. Derek White looking more and more like Derek White. 22 points in that game against the Knicks, 13 of which came in the fourth quarter. Those points were huge.
617-779-7937. Let's spread some listenership to the airwaves here. Let's go to Dave in Arlington. What's up, Dave?
Hello. How are you today?
Tremendous. How are you?
Hey, Dave, what's up?
I'm just curious, I guess. So I have not heard the whole show, so feel free to say, I said that, but how come no one's talking about Jaylen Brown's turnovers? It's the one thing that drives everyone crazy.
Yeah, but it's the least critical part of his game right now. He is the centerpiece of the offense, right? The offense is going through him. Is that accurate?
Peyton's dribbling it up a lot of times, but Peyton dribbles it up and looks for Brown every
right.
single time. Yes,
so generally the number one throughout the history of basketball leads the team in turnovers, and that's the way it works, and that's the way it will always be because of volume. Has he had his issues at times? The first quarter the other night, yeah, he had some issues. And what did he say? He admitted he had issues. When he did the halftime interview, why did he blow up in the second quarter? He blew up in the second quarter because he was embarrassed by his first quarter. Isn't that what great players do? They bounce back. Dan Ball.
Some stats to back that up real quick. So Luka Doncic leads the league with 4.3 turnovers per game.
Is he
Brown,
good?
He is, I don't know, top three, top
okay.
five in the
leading
league.
Leading scorer in the NBA right now.
Right.
Yes.
Jaylen Brown in 21 games, 3.6 turnovers per game. That is sixth most in the league. But you look at the group around him, Nikola Jokic, 3.5. Donovan Mitchell, 3.4. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 3.3. And Steph Curry, 3.1.
How come nobody ever brings up all their turnovers? All I hear about those guys is MVPs, championships, and halls of fame.
There's just a direct correlation between I control the ball the most for my team. I take the most shots. I make the most plays, mm-hmm. and I'm also going to give it away more than anybody else, Fitzy.
It's just that the way Jaylen Brown turns it over is what frustrates people so much.
Yes.
Plus, also, he has been a target of criticism just because Tatum, for some reason, is, and we're being honest, not going back to lazy old narratives, but Tatum is seemingly more beloved in town, so therefore it's easier. Like, people forgive Tatum for his transgressions and his miscues, injuries, and more, but Jaylen Brown, they're often quick to criticize. I'm believing, this is my thought, my feeling here, that this season is going to buy him back some equity and amnesty with the fans, and they're going to be less frequent to criticize him. Therefore, hey, you know what? Whoever, like Dan just said, whoever touches the ball more often usually turns the ball over. They're going to start thinking of it that way in terms of Jaylen Brown, and less of, how come every third time this guy touches the ball, he dribbles it off his foot or he can't dribble with his left hand?
You know what I worry about? I worry that it's already too far gone. I worry that his reputation precedes him in a way, and this is both on air or on the court and off the court. I worry that he's going to get your boy Andy's going to get this kind of criticism, regardless of if the turnovers go down, if the scoring goes up. I think it might just kind of be attached to him. At
Absolutely,
this point.
And I don't actually think it's him. It's people are entrenched in their views. They're set in their ways, and they yep. see what they want to see. Now, I can admit, I am a big Jaylen Brown fan. I can admit it's not the turnovers that I think annoy people. It's the way that they unfold, as Fitzy said. Like, there are times where you're like, dude, did you learn to play basketball last night? You just picked the sport up in the lobby of the hotel.
Do you have an inner ear infection right now?
But then the other end of the... Exactly. Nick Asaski, when he came to Boston, did you get vertigo on the overnight?
On the flight.
But then the other end of the spectrum is true as well. He makes some plays offensively that wow you, whether it's with his explosive play, whether it's some of the moves, the physicality in the paint, the mid-range jumpers. How about that three-pointer in Indiana, right, to force overtime? That's one of the great three-pointers in an important situation, tough three-pointers that you will ever see. So it's funny because I think Jason Tatum is more narrow with his style of play. Like, he's so smooth-looking. I don't think he rarely wows you with any physical play. It's just consistency, right? Smooth. He also doesn't wow you with bad mistakes. He has the ball a lot, too, and he mm-hmm. has much fewer ugly turnovers, ugly mistakes. That's just his style of play. There's a little bit more of a frenetic, helter-skelter style of play to Jaylen Brown, with the highs are high and the lows every once in a while are low. But I think if you're a fan right now and your first instinct was to call the show, Dave, his name was Dave, I believe.
I think so.
Call the show and say, how come nobody's talking about his turnovers? You're a hater. You're literally a hater.
It's a lazy narrative from seasons past. Like, you should be calling in to talk about how impressed you are with Jaylen Brown's ability to lead half the roster from the past couple of seasons to a 12-9 record and beat along the way a couple of playoff teams. Also, there was a great tweet the other day from Kevin O'Connor, who I believe now is with Yahoo, and he was quote tweeting off of Sean Grandy. The Celtics have beaten a lot of good teams. Like, they're not just cleaning up. Like, tonight they're playing Washington. Even with Jaylen load management, sore throat Brown taking the night off tonight, they should be able to take care of business. They're beating playoff caliber teams. They're beating top three seeded teams in the NBA right now. So it's not that that they're just cleaning up. I mean, hell, they lost to the Nets two Fridays ago, and we all thought it was time to cancel the season. Since then, they've responded nicely.
So let's go to the text line, 617-779-7937. We got some pro JB. 207, I think JB defines what a Celtic truly is, grinds and goes to the hoop. And I love that. Like, I think he is the ultimate Celtic. I think he has proven to you he can play in any form or fashion. He can do whatever role you want to throw at him. If he knows what you're expecting of him, he will do it. Oh, you need my D tonight? Yep, my defense. Just defense. You need my defense tonight. Rebounding, physicality, scoring, whatever it may be, he figures it out, Fitzy. Maturity, Fitzy, for crying out loud.
Who said it?
The all-text guy, I mean all-caps guy, has also checked in, the 508. JB having a great week but still can't dribble or pass. Funny you waited for this stretch.
Oh, my God. I have to ask.
Why do they?
What is everyone's problem with him?
It's a legitimate question. I think it's one he asks himself on a regular basis.
And I think it has next to nothing to do with what happens on the court. I really don't.
I do. So it's his words. You're right, Dan.
It's his twitches.
It's the twitches. It's the interviews. It's the and not to say that anything he's saying isn't warranted. I can't speak to the challenges that he has dealt with in his life off the court. All I know is what I watch from minute zero to the end of a game every single season.
And I
think that's the difference between what you see from Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum is the stuff you see off the court.
Yeah, sorry, I thought there was a Tom Curran pause in there, Dan. My apologies. Real quick, our old pal Terp is listening on his ride home right now. Of course,
he could
listen on 93.7 FM, or he could download and use the Odyssey app, Andy, as well. We'll call this is a Terp chirp, as I like to call them. The Celtics' 7 wins against teams with a 500 or better record are tied for second most in the NBA, along with Orlando. Only the Nuggets and the Thunder have slightly more. They trail only the Pistons in the conference. Now, in the conference, they have 8 wins over. So, actually, they're better than Oklahoma City and the Nuggets as well. So, just think about this. Your Celtics, they're 12-9. Like, oh, man, I wish they were better. Like, yeah, it was more fun when it was years past when they were winning 4 out of every 5 games. I like the start of this season more, Andy, than I do last year when they got off to a hot start and you were like, oh, they could be 82-0. They could go undefeated at home. And then everything proved to be a facade and a mirage. Whereas this year, I feel like this team is gritting this out and they're only going to get better.
Absolutely. You have those 2 losses to Philly, right? What, the opening, was that opening
2
night?
2-1-point loss. Now, yeah. Those piss me off.
And if you had those in the win column, that changes your record dramatically.
You're 14-7, and then everyone's like, wow, the Celtics are winning 2 out of 3 games without Tatum, without Porzingis, without Holiday, without... Yeah, et cetera.
But you make a good point, Fitzy. Maybe for this team and where it wants to go and develop into and become later in the year, maybe those were challenges. Maybe those were opportunities to test your mettle, to learn from clutch situations, which sneaky have been a problem for this team for years, even when they were a better basketball team. So this team is what it is. It's led by Jaylen Brown. He is an MVP candidate. He's going to be all NBA. And the Celtics, for now, look like a team that could be in the middle of the pack at the very least, if not better, in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Oh, and Jason Tatum could be back by February? We'll get to that at some point. 617-779-7937. Coming up next, though, I want to touch on something that ESPN posted, Fitzy. I'm not sure if you saw this. They ranked NFL players among 109 different skills. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, pass rushers, things
of
that
nature. That makes for a hell of a weekend for the Pro Bowl. Welcome to the Skills Challenge, where we'll put 100.
I was scrolling for a long time to get through this, but Let's just say, not surprisingly, Drake May is represented, but it might surprise you where he is represented. Where does Drake May represent among the best quarterbacks in the NFL and his skills? That's up next here on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna-Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
UEEI.
And you know what that means? Yep. After a serious drought, the New England Patriots are number one in the power rankings. New England hasn't played the league's hardest schedule. It's actually been the easiest. But this team passes the eye test, and Vrabel had them flying around on all three phases on Monday night. So what do you think? Is the curse real? Well, the Pats head into a bye this week, so good timing to avoid a loss. But I might see something in that Bears-Packers game that could shake things up at the top.
Tom, that was a decent take. Why don't we do it one more time and see if we can be less stiff?
Yeah, okay,
holy
Tom,
crap!
Tom, I really like the I like what you were going with. Okay, this time with less emotional Botox.
Good Lord, that's $37 million a year right there. Oh, my God.
The robot has gained feelings, boys.
Yeah, like, wow. And now he likes the Patriots again? Like, who's on top? I thought you said you couldn't pick between Tampa and the Patriots back a few weeks ago when they your former teams were playing. Very interesting.
It is tough to show your emotion when you've had that much work done, though, I will say.
It is true. Yeah. You know from experience?
No. Just
big Botox guy?
Just observation. Observational comedy. That's all.
That's why the statue is kind of like, that's why they built it that way. Because they're like, well, let's be honest and true to Tom Brady. Like, he's just emotionless at this point.
He's hardened over time and he's paid for that. So that was Tom Brady talking about a Patriots team that is now number one, not just in his power rankings, but in many, many, many power rankings, much to the chagrin or joy of Ted Johnson. Not sure either way. But ESPN, as I said, put out a story today, 109 different skill sets they ranked among NFL players. And you're probably not surprised that Drake May is involved, Fitzy, but would you guess, if I said, what did ESPN say Drake May is best at among NFL quarterbacks, what would your first guess be?
The deep ball.
Nope, that'd be wrong. That'd be Sam Darnold. Right. He's better, apparently, according to them.
He is not. Okay, that's fine.
I actually thought the same thing, but that is not what they gave him. He was given two specific categories that he was dubbed the best in the NFL.
Beating the blitz.
I guess you're close on one of them. They said Drake May has the best pocket poise of any quarterback in the NFL.
That's more subjective than objective.
Oh,
that's,
it is indeed. But also something that I would think they would have given to a more veteran passer, somebody who's been around the blocks a few times, not the second year 23-year-old starter who was supposed to be a project Do we still remember way back when Dan Orlovsky said you couldn't pay him enough to play Drake May because he was such a project?
Oh, yeah. He needed the Aaron Rodgers treatment. Yeah. You know, Merrill Hodge, Drake May, that's kind of quarterback gets you fired.
Here we are a year later, and he has the best pocket poise in the National Football League, according to ESPN.
How do you like that?
And then the other thing is a more physical attribute, Fitzy. Almost got a fisty again.
Jeez, where'd you spend last night?
Drake May has the best touch and timing of any quarterback.
All right, I'll buy, again, intangibles, but at the same time, that I think that's an eye tester, and I agree.
Yeah, and I think we saw that on Monday night. For example, there was that one throw to Stephon Diggs where you see him just catch it perfectly in stride so he can keep running towards the sideline, up the sideline.
How about that little lofted TD fade to Booty in the end zone? Like, that thing was just gorgeous.
So I just think it's interesting. I would have been with you, Fitzy, that like, oh, the deep ball. Everybody's raved about the deep ball. They don't give him the deep ball. Or even something more physically based. This is sort of like really high-end stuff that they think a 23-year-old quarterback is the best in the NFL. This falls in line, I think, with Ted's assertion that he's doing things we've never seen before. When you're given credit for the best pocket poise at the age of 23. Because, like, Matthew Stafford's in the NFL, right? And he has been for 17 years or whatever the hell
it
is.
Yeah, since the dawn of time. Yeah, right. He's 37 years old. He's been around the block a couple times playing the position. He's supposed to have that kind of poise.
Right.
He's supposed to have that touch. He has honed his craft over 10,000 hours, whereas Drake still hasn't, between college and the pros, played as many games as Jaden Daniels played in college.
Dan Ball.
I kind of think they went 0-for-2 on these personally.
Oh.
Fitzy, to your point, deep ball accuracy would have been my pick. And then not necessarily the pocket poise, because I think it's getting better. But this is a guy who was saying, my biggest thing I'm working on during camp is remaining a passer longer.
Right.
So I would have gone with what they gave Dak Prescott a little bit further up, which is best mobility in the pocket. Best ability to move, either step up or get outside of it. It kind of just something that shows off the athleticism a little bit more. And he's got great touch and great feel for his passes, but he still has a little bit of the gunslinger, floating it, just a little bit. Yep. It was on display against Tampa. Remember when he answered you my pass to Ramondre/Hunter Henry, because even he wasn't sure?
Right.
So I kind of think they went 0-for-2, but it's also hard to not say that he's not deserving of 4 or 5 of these.
Correct. And I also wonder, I've done these things, brag over the years, back in my days as a writer.
Oh, great story.
Sometimes you kind of work backwards and go like, so we need to get all these people on the list because they're having great years. Which category can I put this guy in? Oh, they both could go here. Well, if we put him here, we can still use him over here. I'm guessing there was some of that, because you're going to get all the high-end QBs, the MVP candidates. They're all going to get in there. So you got.
Did you say it was touch and feel, Andy? That it was like
touch and timing.
Touch and timing.
You made it sound dirty.
Now it's my turn to make it sound like it was
the touchy-feely quarterback of the Patriots, Drake.
Now available at the Pro Shop.
He wasn't on Tuesday.
Available at the Pro Shop. It's touch and feel, Drake. Yeah, the touch and timing. I mean, that you can just bear witness to that in that incredible pass he threw to Pop Douglas against the Buccaneers. Like that, like, remember the one amongst five defenders?
Oh, yeah.
It just sort of found its way in
that
there.
That I think was like, kind of stupid until it's complete.
It looked like a horrible, like, this is a terrible dish. Oh, my God. How'd you do that?
That was the ultimate no, 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 go, go, go kind of play by a coach. Like, don't ever do that again unless you're going to complete it again. And then keep doing special things. And I'm glad you're our quarterback. And I'm glad I took this job. 617-779-7937. Dan Ball did put together a list of questions, attributes about Patriots. We may swing back around and get to that a little bit later. When Ted joins the fun, he asked us about most explosive rusher, best route runner, some of those things. We may touch on that with this idea of skill sets and players and the Patriots.
A bunch of them were nonsense. So I was just trying to pick the ones that I actually cared about.
Just have a little bit of fun with it. Yeah. It's football. It's the bye week. It's what we do. It's 3 o'clock, and what we do is a 3-point stance. I actually teased it yesterday, but, well, Ted went first, and, well, that just derailed the rest of the show when he said that Bill Belichick should not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Today, 24 hours later, I'm going to get to the Billy O Show at BC, the next great era of BC football. Sure as hell better start right now. That's up next with my 3-point stance here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.